Pastor Matthew's absence, we are happy and excited to welcome Phil Foster here with us once again. Many of you know that he's been a Converge pastor for over 6 years, and he has blessed us with his bringing of the word in the past, and he's going to do it again. So welcome, Phil. Come on up and bring us God's word.
Good morning. It's great to see you all again. I love going to different churches, and especially churches that I've been to before. I can see faces that I remember in the past, and it's good to see the Lord at work in this place. And so this morning, the musicians, thanks for playing some of my favorite songs. I'm sure those were just for me, right? They were great songs, weren't they? One of those songs is my favorite by the Katinas. I just love their music, so thanks for sharing this morning with me. And so one of the things I'm going to do this morning is share a little bit more about myself. Maybe you might not know that I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. I'm originally from Western New York, and so I brought a few things this morning, and some of my gear that I wear at the football games. This is one of my favorites, the amazing blue hair that all the other teams from, when I go to Kansas City, the Chiefs fans love it when I wear my hair. I put my hat on top of that. It's all fun. And then I have a really cool sign that I made. So as you can see, I'm a pretty big fan of the Bills. Woohoo! And of course, then I add my jersey and all the other gear, and I go with friends, and we enjoy the games. But I'm also involved in other things when it comes to football. Any other football fans here, whether college or NFL, they really kind of enjoy it. And do you have crazy fun gear as well? You got to have jerseys and those kind of things. But then, as I think about the Buffalo Bills and all the other stuff that I get into, anybody in fantasy football leagues? I've been in a few of those. I've been in like up to 5 fantasy teams, meaning you line up, you do the full deal of recruiting these guys into your teams, and all of a sudden you're really, really busy because guess what? When Sunday comes, you got the football game to look forward to, so Pastor, make sure you don't go over, right? Because I don't want to miss the game. Anyone ever feel like that sometimes, if we're being honest? Sure, I felt like that. Because I'm so looking forward to our brand new quarterback and all these other things. And then my fantasy football league that I'm in, you got to have your team set up by Thursday. So you know what that means, right? Like Wednesday, I've got all these players I've got to put in, right? I've already worked all day Wednesday. I want to make sure I'm all set for Thursday. So guess what? Wednesday night, it's football season, Pastor. Don't know if I can make it to Bible study. Maybe not small group. I got a lot of things going on. Anyone else find that happening other than me in their life? Kind of that challenge of, I really want to go. And then I think, well, God really knows my heart, right? He knows I want to be happy. He knows if I do really well, I can maybe even reach out to people in the fantasy leagues, right? And then I've got other things going on, right? I've got my Netflix going on. Anyone like to Netflix binge? Some people know what I'm talking about. There's certain shows that come on, you're so excited, and all of a sudden you get locked into this thing. You come home from work, and you're like, honey, just bring dinner because I got to keep watching the show. And all of a sudden, 5 hours goes by. You missed any chance of Bible study, right? You're like, whoa, what's going on? And all of a sudden, it's 11 o'clock at night. Oh, now you're going to be late for work. You're going to wake up. You're going to be really tired. You're not going to do your best at work. Anyone associating with me yet? Right, like all these things in our lives kind of keep us going. And the Bills gear, I'm really not that big of a fan, but I do have fun gear to bring with me. But I don't let it consume me. But there are times where I think, what is going on? Like, because I'm not spending much time with the Lord. Wednesday nights aren't happening, and I'll skip a Sunday morning to go to a game, and all of a sudden one game turns into, I'd like to go another one this year and another one, and all of a sudden I'm not at church as much as I used to. And I'm a Christian, right? So God knows my heart. He wants me to be happy. There's all these things competing for my time, and then let's get into, for one moment, social media, right? Anyone on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, I can go on and on, right? And as a Christian, I do want to be involved in these things. And I've got family out of the state, you know, out of Iowa, and I want to make sure that I'm posting pictures and Christian memes, right? with scriptures on them, right? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Sending those to the family and loved ones, and you know that if you don't do it, who's gonna, right? So you got to do this, and so taking pictures and social media, and how much time can our tablet and or phone take up on us, right? Anyone falling into some of that? But I'm a Christian. I got to do these things. And so there's all these things in our life that are not necessarily bad things in and of themselves. But when I took an inventory this past week as I was putting the message together, I started seeing all of these things that honestly, in my walk with the Lord, I was a baby believer when I was 24 years old. Now I'm cruising into 50. But I can look back and all of those times, those seasons in my walk with the Lord, where there's all these things kind of begging at my attention. Initially, it was just my friends. Like, I'm a Christian, they know I'm a Christian, but at the same time, how do I now talk about those things with my friends? Because it's like they're two separate worlds. And even as I'm a mature believer now, and I'm trying to continue my walk with the Lord and draw nearer to Him, as the scriptures are telling me to do, right? Continue to walk in the Lord, walk with Him, right? And what does that look like? And so this morning, it's a little bit of a challenge, I think, that God has for us to kind of search our hearts and to kind of process and think about what are those things maybe that are in the way of my walk with Jesus right now? Because as I took inventory, there are so many things that are competing and wrestling with that. So this morning, let's do that. Let's open up God's Word. I think you know we're in the book of Mark, right? You guys have been in there for a little bit, right? Anybody really enjoying the book of Mark? Gospel of Mark. It's kind of a shorter one, isn't it, compared to the other ones? But it is really, really good. So let's dig in. We're at Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 31 is what we're going to go over this morning. And you might have read this before or been in this section before, but I would ask you to open up your heart a little bit to see what the Spirit has for you this morning. So let's read it together. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. I'm just going to read all the way through 31, and then we're going to kind of go back through those a couple verses at a time and kind of dig in a little bit deeper and see what the Lord has for us, okay? All right, so verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." Verse 20. "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Verse 26, the disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Then Peter spoke up, "We have left everything to follow you." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in the present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Awesome, awesome section of scripture right there. There's quite a few things in there to look at, though, so hold on this morning. So let's go back to verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" So throughout Mark, as you've been reading or following along with the different speakers, they've been starting off with the same way. Jesus is on his way. Where is he headed to? Does anyone know this morning? Anyone want to share? He's on his way to the cross. This is his journey. He's on his way going there. And so something happens on his way. And it's kind of cool that as he's on his way, he continues to teach and share and help those in need. And this is another example of just that. So we have a young man who runs up to Jesus and falls on his knees before him. Be interesting. Could you imagine that? As you're a Christian, you're just on your way, you're heading somewhere, and someone comes down and falls down on their knees in front of you. Now think about it for a moment. This is not just anybody, not just any young man, is it? According to the scriptures, he's young, he's rich, and he's what? He's a ruler. Yeah. So for something like that to happen, he's got to know something. He probably knows, or he's heard of who Jesus is. And who knows, he might have actually been waiting, hearing that Jesus is on his way. He might have had people out looking and watching, which way is he coming? Because I want to go and I want to meet this guy. Because if you're the rich young ruler, what do you have? You've got lots of money, right? Lots of wealth he had. And as a ruler, there's prestige that goes along with that, right? He's in a good place. And as we're going to look a little bit further, it's not just that. He knows other things as well. So here he comes, and he falls down on his knees in front of Jesus. So the way I figure it, he must have known something about Jesus. Either Jesus had spoken things and he had heard about it, or maybe even John the Baptist had shared something. And so he comes and he says, I want to know, since I have everything good here in this life, he wants that to continue. And wouldn't you? If you were that rich young ruler, things are going great, life is good, I want it to continue, right? When life is going well, don't you want it to just continue? Sure you do. Sure, in the flesh, we want to continue to do good and have life head in that direction where it's comfortable and things are going well for you. Financially, they're heading in the right direction, right? Please, let's keep that going. Because what's the opposite of that? Difficult times, lack of money, lack of support, and friendships perhaps, you know. There's a lot of things that are conflicting right there. But it's interesting that as we look at this, the story continues on. Let's look at verse 18. Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. These couple verses are very interesting. Jesus now, he rebuts the young ruler by saying, there's only one good, and that's God the Father. And I think it's interesting that Jesus didn't take the credit there. Could he have? Certainly, there were no other teachers before him. There were people who were amazed at him. Said, isn't this Jesus of Nazareth, right? We've heard that in the scriptures before. Where is he getting this knowledge, this understanding from? But Jesus doesn't. He knew what his mission was. His mission was to what? Lead people to the Father, right? That's what his mission was. And so for a moment, I want to take kind of an aside, and I want you to think about that. Most of your friends and neighbors and coworkers, they know that you're a Christian, right? Hopefully they do by the way that you talk, the way that you act. They should see that you're a little different than them. You're not going to respond always as everyone else does, right? We should be different in this world because this is not our home, right? So I'll share for a moment that there have been times in my life where people would say to me, Phil, you're such a great guy. What? You're so nice to people at work. You're so good to your neighbors. And what should my response be? Honestly. And in that moment, it didn't click. It didn't come to mind. But as I read the scriptures, I'm like, why didn't I just profess out of my mouth that the reason I am at least half of a good man is because of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because of God, the Father in heaven? Shouldn't I? If I'm a Christian, if I'm walking in the steps of Christ, if I'm walking with him daily, if I'm in his word, and I see him lifting me up and allowing me to do things that I could never do on my own, my automatic response should be in the future, because I forgot then and I learned from it, right? To respond and say, oh, praise God. Praise God. Because if I was just in the flesh, I wouldn't respond that way. It's not natural in the flesh to respond the ways that I do. Would you agree? And I hope that, my prayer is that you're the same way. You are who you are because of God, right? You're made in His image. He made you for a purpose. He loves you. He's working in your life. You've probably found times in your life to where if it wasn't for God, if you didn't have the peace of God in your life, you'd not be able to stand. Anyone ever have those moments in their life? Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you've lost your house. Maybe you've lost your job. You find yourself in a place where you cannot do it on your own. But for some unknown reason, you have a peace in your daily walk. Not that you don't have ups and downs, but overall, God gives you peace. And I'll be honest with you, there's been two, 3 years to where God has just been so gracious to me. And I praise Him for that. Because He's the one that I know, according to the Scriptures, has given me that peace and that understanding to be able to walk the walk. Because of Him, He's given me that strength. It's difficult. So I want to encourage you through that, to just recognize that and apply that to your life. And the other part of this section of Scripture is that this young ruler does in fact know the commandments. And Jesus says, you know them. And for some reason, there aren't all 10 commandments in there. Anyone have any idea why? Why there will only be half instead of all of them? It's actually just the second tablet. It's kind of interesting because if you look at those commandments in particular, it kind of talks about stuff. Like, I know he's a rich young ruler, but you haven't gotten your riches by stealing, by defrauding, by murdering, because people do those things for stuff. Those are selfish reasons. And so he's saying, you, young, rich ruler, know the commandments. So that's kind of interesting to think about it. But let's kind of look at that dialogue as it continues now with this rich young ruler that not only has prestige and all the money, I'm sure he's probably good looking, but now he also knows the Scriptures, like he knows them. And I'm like, geez, so far I've read the story before, but it's not looking too bad for this young rich young ruler, right? Honestly, if you're a Christian in today and you look at a person like that, what do you think? He's in a good place, right? He's maybe going to Sunday school. He's learning all the verses, right? He's saying them out loud. He's applying them to his life. Looks like he's a pretty good person. He's following those commandments, right? He's actually, like, doing them. So by outside circumstances, when we look at him, yes, we want him in our church, right? If we're being honest. So let's continue on. Verse 20, teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy, of course. Jesus looked at him and loved him, which that verse in and of itself I absolutely adore. But then Jesus responds, one thing you lack, he said, go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me. So it's interesting. Now the young man, who's obviously very bright, he doesn't say good teacher. He now says teacher, right? He says it the correct way. And he says, yes. Yes, I have done this all my life. I have followed these commandments since I was little. And I'm telling you, if I'm him, I'm on cloud 9 right now. Because it feels like he might be getting the right answer. Like, eternity sounds good because I have it all good. I've been doing the right things. I really want this thing here. I want this to continue on. All these riches, all the good life, I want it to continue on into eternity. But then, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Aren't you glad that Jesus loves us for doing the right things? Doesn't it feel good when you do the right thing for your parents, right? It feels good in your heart. Yeah, all right, they told me I did a good job. Awesome, right? And maybe with our bosses, our neighbors, when people speak highly of us and saying, you're doing good things, it does feel good. But there's a funny thing about Jesus. Jesus knows us, what we look like, and we know each other from what we look like and what we do, the way we walk, the way we talk, But Jesus looks even further than that, doesn't he? Jesus knows our heart. And so Jesus was able to take this young man who on the outside had everything going on, and then he just goes right into his heart. And he said, "You lack one thing. You lack one thing." And I can imagine at that moment that everything was going so right for that rich young ruler, but to take that left turn would have been very, very difficult. And how sad that would be for him. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe it wouldn't be sad for him if he was willing to give up that one thing that was taking up all that space in his heart. And Jesus wanted that space. According to the scriptures, how much should we love God? With all our heart, with all of our soul and all of our strength, right? With everything. So Jesus is saying, I recognize you're a rich young ruler. You've got all these great things going on. You even know some of the scriptures like you know and you've lived it out. But there's something that you lack. And so what does the young man do? He's like, now I have to get rid of everything? And I think it's deeper than that. I think it's deeper than just getting rid of that one thing. Because I think in our lives, we do get rid of these little things. One at a time, it's like Jesus kind of works on us, right? All of us are in transition, and we're in different places with our walk with the Lord, right? So we're getting rid of these things. There's this one thing left. Give it up. Go sell it. Give it to the poor. And then what? I love that part. What's he say? Follow me. Come along. Walk with me. Because there's a twist there, and I think there are things to kind of think about. It's not just as he gets rid of it, then he's at least still a young ruler, right? Get rid of the riches, and maybe he's poor, but he's got people beside him, and he can still make it. But you know what? To follow Jesus, how difficult would that be for the young ruler? Now he does what? Give up the rule. Give up the status. Give up all of those things, right? And walk with me. Now, who is Jesus at that time? Everybody loved him, right? Not everybody loved him. There's always some weird guy, right? Some people loved him, they knew the truth, but there are others who did what? They hated him. Is this Jesus from Nazareth? What good can come out of Nazareth, right? His own hometown, right? They didn't like him. So to go from as high as you could probably get in society to walk with the crazy guy, right? And so what did he do? Verse 22, at this the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. That was the one thing that no one else really knew. Because he was probably good with his money. He probably had a lot of people who loved him. Maybe even loved him because of his money, right? I've seen lots of friends who were wealthy, and there were people that loved to be around them because they were popular, because they had money. And there was always stuff going on, right? There's always these things. So people would kind of gather around those type of people, and they still do today. Take all that away, and what happens? It could be very lonely, right? But Jesus says, I will be with you. Like, we'll be together then. We'll complete. We will be complete. And we will be doing amazing things, right? That's kind of that trade-off of how much stuff or how many things or maybe what is that one thing that we continue to cling to that we will not let go of so that we can truly walk with Jesus. It's a tough question, isn't it? We know each other pretty well, some of us more than others. Some of us have had accountability partners with one another in the church, which is an amazing thing. But it's so hard to let go. Wednesday night at group, there was a guy that I was talking with, and we've been at our church in Veritas for about a year and a half now, and just kind of building a relationship with this man, about my age, a little bit younger. And his family's going through so many things. And we prayed for one another. But I got to be honest with you. It was last Wednesday night. At the end, he's like, hey, you got a minute? Of course. And he comes over and he just, like, he breaks down. He's like, I'm doing the right things. I'm a leader at work. I'm loving my wife. I'm working with my kids, trying to, lead them to Christ and all these things. And he said, I just feel like I'm at that breaking point. I just can't do it anymore. And I think he's in a good place, although hard, because what we did then is we went to Christ. We went to Jesus and we prayed together because he realized he couldn't do it on his own anymore. Being a Christian and a leader in your home, moms and dads, being the leaders of those children, it's hard, isn't it? And as they get older, there are other challenges, different challenges that you will come up against. And you need to be walking with Christ to work through those. Because I'll be honest with you, you're not going to be able to do it on your own. And in my walk, when I've put these things in between the Lord and myself, right, I continue to put them in, the good things, right? I'm reaching out to people through my Bill's Backers group, right? I'm reaching out to people through Netflix or through my social media. I'm connecting with people. I'm sharing all the right things. I'm going to Sunday school. All of these things, in and of themselves, they're not bad things. But let me get to the core of it. Where are you in your walk with Jesus Christ? Because some of you know that I have met with pastors to encourage them, and that's good for pastors to get together. But one of the things I love to ask the other pastors is, how is your walk with Jesus Christ? How is your personal walk with Christ? And I would encourage you to pray for your pastors. Because most pastors' response is, I'm just so busy. I got my study in for Sunday morning. That's good. What about your walk with Jesus Christ? Ministry can actually get in the way of your walk with Jesus Christ. Your relationship with Jesus Christ has to be first above all other things. And when that is right, it's amazing because then the other things just fall into place. Anyone ever see that? That's how it works with me. That's how it works in the scriptures here. And so this guy walked away. He walked away. He's not willing to give it up. Let's continue on. Verse 23, Jesus looked around and said to the disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, now he's changing his view and talking to them as children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. And verse 26, the disciples were even more amazed, and they said to each other, who then can be saved? Who then can be saved? We've got a rich young ruler who seems to have everything. Everybody loves him. He's got all the money. He knows the verses. If he's not going to heaven, then how is this going to happen? Who? Why? How? How? How can it happen? This young ruler loved his status and his life and the flesh too much to follow Jesus. Ugh. And so the poor disciples, they're amazed at Jesus, his words. If we step back and look at the young ruler, we see that he knew the commandments. He followed them all his life. He was in very good standing. And so let's continue on, verse 27. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is what? Impossible. We can't do it. Like all of these things in our lives we can do. You can become rich. You can become the strongest person in the world. You could. Right? There's all these things that you can do. You become a CEO. But it's not impossible with God. And then he says, all things are possible with God. Isn't that awesome? Think about that for a minute. There's all these things in your life that you desire in your heart, right? Now, all things are possible with God as long as it's God's will, right? Like, if you're walking with God and you're doing His will, He's going to open up a whole new world for you of amazing things that are much, much better than the wealth, the notoriety. You'll see miracles in your life that God will do, and you'll just simply be amazed. For me, it's always been those things as I look back and say, whoo, look what God did. Look what God did when I was sleeping. I was walking along, doing my thing, trying to be a good Christian, and God was at work at the same time, working in my life and working others' life, and actually using me, even though I was not even close to the rich young ruler. The first time I saw God at work using me, I woke up at 3 a.m. and I cried like a baby. Because I couldn't believe that the God of all creation would use a wretch like me. I was a baby believer. I prayed a prayer and I knew it in my mind, and not until that point did it reach to my heart. And that's when I realized that God was real. I'm like, this isn't a joke anymore. This isn't this bright idea that someone had. It's for real. Like, God is for real, that God would use a wretch like me. Because according to God, I'm what? Like, filthy rags. The rich young ruler looked like he had everything. Compared to God, he's what? Like, filthy rags. But God, all things are impossible. Honestly, for you, maybe that thing or those couple things that you know in your heart you need to get rid of, or you need to change so that Christ can have center in your life, some of those things are very hard to get rid of. Maybe it's impossible. But with God, right? What does He say? Well, with God the Father, all things are possible. So my challenge today for all of us, because I'm using this on my life right now. God is really working in my heart right now through this message. To seek God out in prayer. Because you're not going to be able to do it on your own. Like that rich young ruler, these things are too big. That one or two things that you know you have to change, God is asking you right now to come to Him. On your own, you can't do it. On your own, He says you can't do it. You won't be able to do it. Come alongside me. We'll walk through this together, and you can have victory. Amen? You can have victory on that thing that's keeping you from Christ. Satan will be the one to tell you, you cannot get past addiction. You cannot get past anger. You cannot get past the ability to calm yourself down. Believe me, you can, with God's help. Maybe it's a relationship that you and your spouse have that's just not healthy, and you need to get that right. Maybe it's a relationship with someone else in the church where you just need to go and talk to them and pray with them and hand it over to the Lord. But all things are possible with God. On our own, we won't be able to do it. And that's the message from Jesus Christ to this young ruler. You can do it, but he walks away sad. As Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, we're to walk along him, take those things, bring them to him, work through it. Jesus will give you freedom. Verse 27, Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible with him. Let's read verse 29 through the end. Truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive, I love this, 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions. There's a little caveat in there, right? See, Jesus, he slides that right in there. Remember, you're going to be blessed. You will see amazing things in your life because you're walking with me, but there's also going to be persecution, right? I think that's a whole other message in and of itself. Working through persecution. But folks, if you're going through something right now, remember that you're not alone. Right? Look at all the things that the disciples went through after Jesus died. What? Right? Persecution. Put on a cross. upside down, right? It didn't go well for them in their walk with the Lord. So it's impossible for people to give up what they love. But with God's help, we can do it. The disciples gave up what? Their whole livelihoods, right? To go with Jesus, right? Some of them were fishermen. They were just normal people, weren't they? And they chose to follow Jesus. That's amazing. And according to the scriptures right here, we'll get not just more, but better. And I think that's the thing to understand. Sometimes there's something called the prosperity gospel. You guys ever hear that? Give all your money to the church. You'll receive 100-fold. It's not what he's talking about here. There are miracles and amazing things that Jesus will do in your life that are so much more than what you left behind that it's as if it were 100 times better than what you had. And we have a future hope that the people of this world don't have. Isn't that true? There are streets of gold. I look forward to eternity, don't you? I mean, the older I get, honestly, my dad's in his 70s now, and his brothers and sisters are passing away, my aunts and uncles, and he's like, hey, it's getting difficult. He's like, but I'm ready. My dad said that to me a couple weeks ago. It was awesome to hear. But I'm ready anytime. And as I get older, I start seeing what people are going through and how hard it is and how the body even starts to be prepared, right? It prepares your spirit for heaven, doesn't it? Praise God for that. But we see miracles that are happening. And if you've been a Christian for a little while, you know what God does, right? There was a friend just the other day. She posted a post on Facebook. She said, pray for my daughter. She's away at college, 4 hours away from home. And so this morning I got on. I'm like, all right, so what was going on? And she shared, well, my daughter was 4 hours away at college, and she was in a car accident. A semi came along and T-boned her car. And 1 millisecond earlier or later, it would have taken her life. And her response was, praise God for his timing. Amen? Life is so fragile. But don't think that a moment that God isn't at work. God does do miracles today. He didn't just set up this world and then step back and forget about it. He didn't. According to this, Jesus said, come and walk with me. We're walking with the Lord right now. And Jennifer and I were even talking this morning. So what does that, what does that look like to walk with Jesus? What does that look like to walk with God daily? And so before I even started this message, the Lord was working in my heart. He said, I want to be with you 100%. Because I think, especially guys, we compartmentalize things, right? Work's here, family's here, right? Food is here, love food. Football's here. Social media, small, but fits in there, right? All these things we compart. Oh, that's right, church. It's in there. So it's one of these things that we do, and we fit it in. But that's not what God wants. Because if I'm Buffalo Bills football Phil, then I'm not going to church on Wednesday nights, no way, and probably there on Sundays, but not always. And I might have to leave early for sure if pastor goes too long, right? You see how that works? And then put my job in there, put my family in there, put some downtime because I need downtime. God says I need to rest, right? I can make excuses for every single thing that takes up my time instead of walking with the Lord. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, so what does this look like? Okay, work isn't separated from church. Work shouldn't be separated from church. You have that job because God put you there. It's your place to minister to others. Now, there's some people at work that will say, don't talk about God. I know you're a Christian. I don't want to hear it. Awesome. They know you're a Christian. That's the perfect place to be because they have a Christian in their life. Amen? And so in your words at work, now, there was a time where I didn't want to say, that worked out perfect. And if I'm with the guys on a men's retreat, I'm like, praise God. Woo! That's awesome. Look what we did. We worked together as a team. Look what happened. But at work, how do we respond? Yes, guys, high five, bam, give me one of those. Not a mention of praise God, right? So I want my mouth to share what my heart is overflowing with, the love of Christ and the good things that God is doing. So I've been active with my words, being who God wants me to be, right? Not just look the part on Sunday morning, but I'm going to allow it to now come out of my mouth and my actions at work. And so what that looks like is, and it was amazing this week, it was the coolest thing, when I talk about God giving you better things than home or family and all that stuff, God took my coworker, and I don't want to share too much, but she is definitely opposite of the church. And she would not go to church because she knows what they teach from the Word, which is truth. So she will never step a foot in the church. But this week, I was verbal with my praising God, and she said, when we did some good things, she said, well, amen. A non-believer who will not go to church said amen. Let it be. Because God's in charge, right? Wow. I saw a miracle this week. Just because now I'm opening my heart, opening not just one area to God, but the rest of those areas. And when I go to work, we have time when we go to work, I'll turn on the Christian station. And there's some great stations, aren't there? Anybody love Christian radio? It's encouraging. It is. And we're singing some of those songs that you guys sing in the morning. It comes into your heart and your ears when you're on your way to work and going home. But I have to be honest with you. God taught me another thing. I'm in a carpool. A couple days a week I drive myself and I'm listening to my tunes. God's sharing things in my heart and I'm encouraged. I'm riding with a carpool. And the guy in charge is driving is in charge of the radio. So he turns it to this radio station. And they start singing these songs and saying these words and saying these things that are opposite of what God would have me to listen to and hear. And I'm like, ugh. Do you know what ugh is? Do you know what that is? That's the quenching of the Spirit. Right? Like, whoa, I don't want to hear that. Like, yeah, you can't take it. You have the Holy Spirit guiding you, and in your life you're growing spiritually, and you're just like, ah. And so now I'm recognizing things. So I'll be honest with you, if I'm Buffalo Bills Phil being way too busy for all these other things, and I'm not even hearing the Word on a regular basis, or I'm not growing and learning and the knowledge and understanding, you know what happens to me? That stuff doesn't even bother me. Matter of fact, I laugh along. That is funny. To make more fart noises, right? I mean, they're doing these silly, silly things that aren't even mature things. They're immature things. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. And so if I'm living and walking with Christ, these mature things are the things that I want. And those immature things, I don't have time for that. Whoa, man, I don't want to hear that stuff. The language, right? Just, ugh. So here's my challenge. Are we getting close on time, Jen? Where are we at on time? I want to make sure I'm not over today. 20 till? 34, okay. Thank you. So here's the challenge. You, walking with Christ, you're a Christian, right? Most of us are Christians. If you don't know what being a Christian is all about, please see me afterwards. I want to talk to you about Jesus a little bit more, where you can have that eternity. We didn't go into it here, but there is eternity that you can have that you might know that you need this morning. Come see me. But walking with the Lord, my challenge to you this morning is to take these scriptures here. What Jesus, yeah, he looked right past the outside. We look pretty good on Sunday morning, right? But Jesus knows your heart, folks. And maybe there's something, maybe there's one or two areas that you need to work on. And my challenge from the Lord is for you to look at those things and pray over those things. And if it's something that you're really, really struggling with, you've been having going on for a long time, talk to someone at the church. Maybe there's someone that you've gotten kind of close to. Just pull them aside. Share with them. Say, I'm struggling with this. And you can let it go. You can say, hey, you know what? I don't want to continue to talk about it, but if you just pray with me on this, sweet. Because we can do that at the church. We don't bug and keep prodding. That you shared with us is a blessing. When my friend shared with me this week and I was allowed to pray with him, Praise God. Like, to me, that's another one of those little miracles that I can do, that I'm actually being used to pray with someone else. What a gift. And that's greater than any stuff I can get at Christmas time. Although I enjoy Christmas time too. Little baby Jesus, gotta love that. But those gifts and stuff, what a gift to have the privilege of praying with someone. And as a pastor, I know Pastor Mathieu, what a blessed guy he is for you folks to be able to come to him and share your struggles with. And he loves praying with you, and it's an honor to have him as part of your lives. So I know that's from his heart. That's a pastor's heart, to walk through the life of the congregation that the Lord brings into the door, to cry with you, to laugh with you, to pray with you. Continue to pray with him and lift him up. But, all right, you got a challenge this morning. All right? I know it's hard, but nothing's impossible with God. Amen? All right, let's pray. Let's close. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. What a challenge. Wow. But God, you are faithful. You know, the scriptures say that you never give us more than we can handle. And sometimes you stretch us. And you want us to come together with others. You want us to seek your face, Father. You want us to be honest and real. We don't want to just be Christians that come on Sunday morning and look good, and then Monday is, you know, sin day, just going back to the ways of this world. We don't want that, Lord God. We're called to walk with Jesus Christ, each one here. So I pray that you would give us daily strength. Give us courage to talk to one another. Give us courage to pray to you. Give us courage to just cry to you. Sometimes we scream out to you, Lord, and I know that David did that in the Psalms, and that's okay to do. To cry out, bare our souls, and get clean, to be able to walk with Christ in a manner that's worthy of God the Father, who is holy and righteous and perfect. And Lord, it's amazing that you still use us, even though we're like filthy rags. We praise you and we thank you for it. So be glorified, Father, in our daily walk with you. And Lord, we look forward to seeing those miracles that you do promise that you'll do in our lives as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ. Father, reveal yourself to us as we are obedient to your calling. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.